In today's other headlines, the death toll from yesterday's massive fire at a high-rise apartment complex in Hong Kong has risen to at least 94 people. Debbie Edwards from ITV News has this report.
A ferocious fire raged on in one apartment, and flames could still be seen in several other buildings in the Wam Phoc estate more than 24 hours after the blaze had started. The worst fire in Hong Kong's history has claimed dozens of lives and taken a massive amount of manpower to bring under control. What's left is a scene of total devastation. Some of the skyscrapers caved in, becoming shells of blackened concrete, billowing with smoke. Lisa and her husband Sam escaped from the ninth floor of Building 5. There was no fire alarm, they just got a call telling them to get out.
The firefighters made a path for us to run. After that, we weren't able to go back. I didn't take anything with me except this bag, and my husband only took his phone.
At its height, the inferno engulfed all but one of the eight buildings in the complex. The night sky filled with a terrifying mass of orange and black. Whatever sparked the fire, it spread quickly across the bamboo scaffolding and construction netting that encased the buildings. Police say several materials being used in the renovations did not meet fire resistance standards, including highly flammable styrofoam. Three men from the construction company involved have been arrested on suspicion of manslaughter.
The Wam Phoc estate has been undergoing renovations since last summer. Upgrades which were meant to make these buildings safer and prevent a disaster like this.
With more than 200 people unaccounted for, firefighters went floor by floor in the buildings they could access to search for survivors.
Do you feel angry that this has happened?
Of course, because as I know, at that moment, they say the material, the green one, actually they can block the fire, but you can see it didn't.
While the cause of this deadly fire is already implicated in a criminal investigation, firefighters vowed to remain at the scene, doing what they could to preserve evidence and any sign of life. Debbie Edward, ITV News, Hong Kong.
Also today, a 16-year-old Palestinian-American was released from an Israeli prison after spending 9 months in captivity. Mohammed Ibrahim was reunited with his father on a road in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. The Florida native was only 15 when he was arrested in February during a raid on his family's home. He was charged with 2 counts of throwing objects at moving vehicles. His family says he pleaded guilty and is now receiving medical treatment in a local hospital. Separately, the Israeli military says it's investigating the West Bank shooting of 2 Palestinian men as they appeared to be surrendering. Video aired on Arab TV stations show them being led back into a garage before they were shot. A Palestinian official says the men were executed in cold blood. Israel says it's been stepping up its offensive against militants in the area. Pope Leo kicked off his initial international trip today as head of the Catholic Church. The first U.S.-born pontiff arrived in the Turkish capital of Ankara to start a 3-day visit to the country. Turkey has played a vital role in global peace efforts, hosting talks between Russia and Ukraine and offering to help with Gaza peacekeeping. After meeting with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Leo urged Turkey to be a source of stability during an era of conflict.
We are now experiencing a phase marked by a heightened level of conflict on the global level, fueled by prevailing strategies of economic and military power. This is enabling what Pope Francis called a third world war fought piecemeal. We must in no way give in to this.
The Pope's visit to the Muslim-majority country marks 1,700 years since the Council of Nicaea, a pivotal event in the history of Christendom. His next stop in Turkey is Istanbul, where he'll visit the Blue Mosque and preside over an interfaith meeting. As the Pope calls for peace, Russia's President Vladimir Putin said today that U.S. proposals to end the war in Ukraine could form the basis of a future deal. Speaking to journalists in Kyrgyzstan, Putin said hostilities would cease as soon as Ukrainian troops withdraw from areas that he says they occupy. But he said it would be pointless to sign any deal with Ukraine's current leadership. Putin claims that Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky lost his legitimacy by not holding elections when his term ended last year.
Of course, we ultimately want to reach an agreement with Ukraine, but that's practically impossible right now. Legally, it's impossible. Anyone who can, whoever wants, can negotiate with them. We need our decisions to be internationally recognized by the major international players. That's all.
Officials in Kyiv say that elections were impossible at a time of martial law and war with Russia. Meanwhile, U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is due in Moscow next week for talks. He's been under fire recently because of a leaked transcript that appeared to show him coaching a Kremlin aide on how to deal with President Trump. Today, Putin dismissed any suggestion that Witkoff was being too friendly with his Russian counterparts. A joint U.S.-Russian crew took off earlier today, headed for the International Space Station. Their Soyuz booster rocket lifted off from a facility in Kazakhstan this afternoon, local time. American physicist Chris Williams, along with his two Russian crewmates, docked at the ISS about 3 hours later. This is Williams' first space flight. He's due to spend about 8 months orbiting the Earth and carrying out tasks including scientific research. And back here on Earth, it's been a long day for millions who braved the Thanksgiving travel rush and a harsh winter storm. Residents of upstate New York woke up to fresh snow. Midwesterners have been navigating icy interstates for days, and forecasters say conditions could get worse over the weekend. Fortunately, the airports were less busy today with fewer delays than yesterday, but things are expected to get busier at the end of the holiday weekend. Meantime, Philadelphia hosted the nation's oldest Thanksgiving Day parade dating back to 1920. In New York, the 99th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade featured fan favorites like Spider-Man and Dora the Explorer, plus some newcomers, including K-pop demon hunters and a labubu or two. Still to come on the NewsHour, tips for remaining civil with family and friends this holiday, even if you disagree with them. A tiny chef leaves a big impression for millions of people online. And a camp for Native American children gives them a chance to be rock stars.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.